Hi everyone, today's Parak of Rambam is the 25th and final chapter of Hilchos Ishos. In this Parak, the Rambam discusses various cases of blemishes found upon the woman or found upon the man, which might be grounds for divorce and potentially the loss of the ksuba. Halach Aleph. Hanos Ishos Stam, Venimzu Alaha Nedarim, Tetei Blo Ksuba, Lo Iker, Lo Tosefes. If somebody marries a woman without any designations made beforehand, no special, particular specifications, and then it turns out afterwards that there are vows upon her, so then he's able to divorce her without having to pay her ksuba. Not the foundational element, nor any of the extra. Now, with regard to what type of vows is this said? If the wife had a vow upon her that she would not eat meat, she would not drink wine, or that she wouldn't adorn herself with various types of colorful clothing, or whatever is appropriate for the people in that area to adorn themselves with, in these cases, the husband is allowed to divorce his wife without having to pay her ksuba at all. However, if it's discovered that the wife has some vow upon her other than these ones, so then she hasn't lost out at all. Similarly, if a man marries a woman without any specifications made in the beginning, and then it turns out afterwards that she had a blemish amongst the blemishes of women that the Rambam has already described, and the husband did not know about this blemish, nor had he heard of it at all, and now he wishes to divorce his wife, he's able to divorce her without having to pay her ksuba at all, not the foundation element, nor the extra. Ketzad, the Rambam illustrated when this is true. If there is a bathhouse in the city, and he has relatives, female relatives, then he's not able to claim he didn't know about these blemishes, even if they are on a hidden part of her body, the part which is normally covered, because we assume that he would have asked his female relatives who have seen her undressed in the bathhouse whether she had any blemishes, and therefore the presumption is that he knew about these blemishes beforehand and he had decided to marry her anyhow. Now, if there is no bathhouse, or even if there is, if he doesn't have relatives, then he is able to claim that he did not know about these hidden blemishes. With regards to somebody who is sometimes not mentally there and sometimes mentally there, in other words, they have some sort of underlying psychological disorder, so then that's something which is considered to be a hidden blemish that he might not have known about. However, if it's something which is a clear, open blemish, something which is visible to all to see, so then he's not able to claim anything against her. Because everybody sees it, and we assume that he would have known about it, and therefore, we presume he had heard, and he had been okay with marrying her nonetheless. Now, the Rambam clarifies that this is obviously only true in a place where the standard custom of women is to go out into the marketplace and have their faces uncovered. Everybody knows who they are. Say, oh, this is the daughter of so-and-so. This is the sister of so-and-so. Such as was done in the European, in the Christian cities in the day of the Rambam. However, in other places, in places where the custom of girls is not to go out into the marketplace at all, and if they have to go to the bathhouse, they'll go at night and they'll disguise themselves, won't be clear that they're going, people won't recognize her other than her own relatives. In that case, a person can even make claims with regards to open blemishes. This is assuming, though, that there was no bathhouse and that the fellow didn't have any relative who was female who could go and check her out. But, of course, the flip side is, if there was a bathhouse in that city, or women would go out with their faces uncovered, and he has a female relative in the city, so then he is not able to claim that he had not known about this blemish, because everybody sees her naked in the bathhouse. However, if the place where they are, the people have the custom to hide themselves, even in the bathhouse, they have their own private area, they only do it at night, so that way people won't even recognize them, then the husband is able to make such a claim, even with regards to the blemishes which are out in the open. Importantly clarifies that these things are all dependent on reason. They're not something which is just a decree of the Torah. And therefore, you have to use your judgment in any given case, whether we think it's likely the man would have known or not known. Halacha Gimel. The Rambam now tells us that there were some Gaonim who had ruled that when Chazal referred to a husband checking out his future wife through his relatives, it doesn't mean specifically his relatives. Rather, it even refers to people that he knows, his acquaintances, his friends. Even if he lived in a city where he didn't have a single relative. If there is a bathhouse there, then he cannot make a claim against this blemish. Because it's impossible that he not have a single friend in the city. And he can always turn to this friend and ask that friend's wife or his sister go and inquire about this particular girl who he wants to marry. And therefore, the presumption is that he had heard about this blemish and he was okay with it. Now the Rambam says, the Rambam does not believe that that's true. Because not every person is going to be so, quote-unquote, brazen about this, to speak about these matters with anyone. Only with his relatives, with his closest relatives, not with people who are just acquaintances. And furthermore, moreover, a person is only going to rely on people that are very close to him, his real relatives, and not just a friend or acquaintance. Now, what is the claim? How does it go about being made when somebody says that he's upset about this blemish? If it was a type of blemish which was for sure there before they had been betrothed, for example, she had an extra finger or the like, so then it's upon the father of the girl to bring proof that the husband had known about it beforehand and had agreed, or that the presumption was that he would have known about it and therefore we assume he had agreed. And if the father does not bring any proof, the husband is allowed to divorce his wife without paying her ksuba at all. However, if blemishes were the type that hypothetically could have sprouted on her after the betrothal, if the husband is only making this claim after they've fully been married, she's entered into his home, so then at that point it's upon the husband to bring the proof that these had been there prior to the betrothal, and therefore it was a marriage under false pretenses. However, if these are discovered while she still is living by her father's home, after the betrothal, before the second stage of marriage, then it's upon the father to go and prove that this had occurred after the stage of Erison, and that it was the husband's bad luck that had occurred to him. It was his own loss. If the husband brings proof that indeed these blemishes had been there prior to the betrothal, or the wife just admits that they had been there before the betrothal, but then, but the father brings proof that the husband had seen it beforehand and been silent, or he had agreed to it, or that at least there was the presumption that he had known about it, and therefore we assume as well that he had agreed to it. In that case, he's obligated to pay the ksuba. If a man had relations with his wife, and then waited a few days, and then only afterwards claimed that he hadn't noticed this blemish until that point, even if it was amidst some of the folds of a woman's skin, or on the back of her foot, on the sole of the foot, nonetheless, we still don't listen to him. Because we assume, euphemistically, a man will not drink from a cup unless he checks it well first. In other words, he wouldn't have had relations with her without having noticed whether or not she had a blemish on her body. And therefore, the assumption is again that he had known about it and had been okay with it. Halacha Zayin. Hanosi Isha Benimsash Eimla Vesas Kavua Lenidasa El Lo Targish Batsma Ashatira Dam Nida Harizu Lo Tishamish El Bishne Eidim Shabodekas Pen Atsma Echelif Ne Tashmish Echel Acher Tashmish Chut Mene Eich El Ish Shabakaneach Bo Atsmo Kamoshis Bar Behelchos Isurabia. Moving to the world of Helchos Nida for a moment. If a man marries a woman, and it turns out that she doesn't have a set pattern of menstruation, rather, she doesn't always feel when she's going to have that experience of menstruation until she actually sees the blood, then he should not have relations with her unless two cloths have been used that the woman checks herself with, one before they have relations and one after they have relations, to see whether or not she had any blood flow. Aside from the cloth which the husband uses to wipe himself after they have relations in order to check whether he finds any blood on himself, which we assume would have come from her. Now, even though this is considered a rather significant blemish, that she doesn't have a set pattern, and then they're always going to have to check themselves by having relations, nonetheless, she hasn't lost out on anything at all, because she will be the one who's going to check herself beforehand and then have relations. Harisha Badka Asma, Benavala, Uba Esha Kincha Asma, He Vahu Nimsa Dam Al Ejala, O Al Ejala. If, however, she checks herself and had relations, and then at the time when she wipes herself afterwards, or when he finds that he wipes himself afterwards, that blood is found, Im Erezet Pam Acher Pam, Shalosh Pamim Smucho Zulazu, if this happens time and time again, consecutively, one after the other one, or near each other, Harizu Asura Lishav Imbaila, then it's forbidden for her to remain with her husband, Betezi Lo Ksuba, Lo Iker, Lo Tosefes. And she leaves without having a ksuba at all, not the foundational element, nor the extra. The ain latznai mitznai ksuba. She furthermore doesn't have any of the stipulations of the ksuba. She ain aruila ta'ashmesh, v'yotzi, lo yasu lolam. Because clearly she's not fit for having relations. Every time they have relations, they discover blood, and therefore they've slept together as being in a state of menstruation, which is a terrible sin. And therefore he can divorce her and never remarry her. Why can't he remarry her? Shemet estrape benim tzash lo gomer l'garsha v'shas gerishim. Because there's a concern that perhaps she'll heal, and then it will turn out that he had never really committed divorcing her in the first place. So we tell him, look, when you're divorcing her right now, know that even if she heals, there's no backseats, it's over. So you can't ever remarry her, and therefore she's actually free to remarry, as the Rambam now tells us, muteris dinasi l'acher, and she's permitted to marry somebody else, once she's barbein anita. As we explain later in Hilchos Nida, why we aren't concerned about the fact that maybe with that other fellow, she'll also have this same problem. Halchatas. When is this true? This is the halacha when this happened from the very beginning of their marriage, from the first time having relations, she saw blood. However, if this illness came to her after they had fully been married, so then we say it's upon the man, it's his law, it's his tough luck. Lafikach imbal pamachas velonim sotam v'achka chazra lios ro'adam b'chol eis tashmesh yotzi v'yitin ksuba kula. Therefore, if the husband has relations with her the first time, and no blood was found, and then afterwards it began that she sees blood every time they have relations, so then he must divorce her, but he must also pay her her full ksuba, and as we saw a moment ago, he cannot ever marry her again, as the Rambam has already explained. Halacha Yud. V'chein isha shalnodu ba momen achar shenisseis. Afilu nasis mukas shchin, imratu l'kayim yikayim, v'imratu l'hotzi yitin ksuba. Similarly, if a woman had a blemish occur to her after she had been fully married, even if it's a terrible blemish, the type of thing where she has boils all over her whole body, nonetheless, if the husband wants, he can remain married to her, and if he wants to divorce her, he can, but he must pay her ksuba. Halacha Yud Aleph. Ha'isha nol dubom woman achar shenisei, afilu nikta yado o raglo o nismeis eino, v'lo ratzta isha leishev imo, ein koven oso lehotzi, v'litein ksuba, el im ratzta teishev, im lo ratzta, if a man has some blemish occur to him after he gets fully married, even if it's something like his hand getting chopped off or his leg chopped off or he gets blind in one of his eyes, and the wife doesn't want to remain married to him, we don't force the husband to divorce his wife and to have to give her ksuba. We don't force the wife to stay in the marriage either. If she wants, she can choose to leave, but she won't get her ksuba. She'll be like any other rebellious wife. And if she wants to stay, she can stay. Aval im no la lo reach hapeh, Orech chotem, o shechazer lokot soas klavim, o lachtov nechoshes meikara, o la'abit oros. However, in other cases, if the husband somehow begins to have terrible smelling breath, or a smell, a really bad odor coming out of his nose, or that he's begun to take up as a profession collecting the dung of dogs, or to have to hew out copper from its actual source, or to tan skins, to tan hides, kopen oso lehotzi b'litein ksuba. In those circumstances, we force the husband to divorce his wife if she wants to be divorced, and to give her ksuba. However, if she chooses not to get divorced, she's happy to stay married to her husband, so then she can stay. Halacha Yud Beis. Nasa ish mukas shchin, kopen oso lehotzi b'litein ksuba. In a case where the husband becomes somebody who's afflicted with boils, we force him to divorce his wife and to give her ksuba. V'afal pi shehi rotza leishev, even though she wishes to remain married to him in this case, ain shomen la, we don't listen to her. Elishem afrishin lo son v'al korchan b'nei shehi mi'akato. In this case, we insist that they get divorced because we are concerned that maybe she will actually cause him to be pained more because of having relations with him. However, if she says, I'll live with him only with witnesses around to ensure that I don't have relations with him, in that case, we allow them to live together. Halacha Yud Gimel, the final halacha in the Perek, as well as in all of Hilchos Ishos. Mishaya Baila Baal Reach Peh, O Reach Echotem, O Malachi Toas Klav, Ukiyot Peh, Umeis, V'nafal Lefnei Achiv, V'yesh Bo Oso Mom, Shaya Baila. If a woman had a husband who had this terrible smelling breath or a nose that had an odor coming out of it, or he collected dog dung as his profession or the like, and then he passed away without having children, and now the wife is standing to do levirate marriage to his brother, and the brother has that same problem, Yechol hi lomar l'achicha yisi yechol l'kabel, l'cha en yechol l'kabel, yachlot v'yitin k'suva. The wife has the ability to make the claim that she says, look, your husband, who I chose to marry, for him, I was able to manage with this blemish. But to you, I won't be able to handle it. And therefore, she can insist that he do chalitza, the process of sending her away